national need.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sponty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Prince Nestor sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Zambia and Guinea became the last countries to reach the quarterfinals of the CHAN tournament in Cameroon. The Chipolopolo played out a goalless draw with southern neighbors Namibia, while Guinea drew 2-2 with Tanzania to claim leadership of Group D. The National Elephants drew blood early in the first half with a Yakuba Barry penalty before Tanzania responded through Baraka Majogoro. Edward Manyama then gave the Taifa Stars the lead after the resumption of play before Guinea's Victor Cantabaduno scored a leveler. In other fixtures, Rwanda's Amavubi Stars displayed an attacking prowess as they beat West African's Togo 3-2 to qualify to the quarterfinals as Group B runners-up. Reporter Mugume Davis Wakirinji followed the match and files this report from Kampala, Uganda.
And officials joined in to sing and dance the Rwandan traditional song at the end of the encounter with the Togo at Limbe Stadium in Cameroon. All teams in Group B started the day with a chance of qualifying the quarterfinals as the Twist Africans, Uganda, Barod, Morocco, while Rwanda played Togo. The group yielded in two lots of goals as Morocco thumped Uganda 5-2, while Rwanda scored 3-2 versus Togo to ensure a qualification to the quarterfinals. The Togolese Sparrowhawks scored first on the 38th minute of the game, but the Rwandese Wasps headed a goal on the 45th minute of the game to ensure both sides settle 1-1 at halftime. The Togolese were lead again, scoring their second goal on the 58th minute, but the Rwandans were not ready to give up, squaring an equalizer on the 60th minute of the game. With the two teams heading into a draw and a qualification for Togo at the expense of Rwandans, Ernest Sugila scored on the 66th minute to send Rwandan fans at the stadium and back home into spontaneous jubilations. Vincent Mashami, the Amavubi coach, admitted it was a tough game. Despite a maiden win in as many games, Mashami believes his team is destined for better things.
For sure, we knew we had to work very hard. We had no any other option apart from winning this game. When you start conceding and all the time coming from behind, it's a bit tiresome. It's so tiresome. It's so demanding. The players need to be strong mentally, need to have that mental strength, and they need to fight back. And for sure they did, different occasions. We were 1-1, we came back, we were 2-1, we came back. I think that was a very good mentality from the boys.
Fans back home, especially in Kigali, were seen running on streets to celebrate the victory. They disregarded COVID-19 guidelines to run, dance and sound vuvuzelas. Some were seen lighting fireworks as others drove their cars around the city. Emmanuel Muvala Kamanda, a Rwandan football fan and analyst, described the mood in Rwanda after the final whistle.
Fans and celebrate the mood. I can hear shouts and celebrations outside. Their stadiums are having something to celebrate about. Despite restrictive measures due to coronavirus.
On the other hand, Mashami's predecessor, Ugandan coach Jonathan McKinstry, after having guided the Mavubi Stars to the quarterfinals in 2016, when the CHAN tournament was held in Rwandan soil, said his young players have gained experience at the international level.
Look, it started to get away from us. When you go behind, we have to throw caution to the wind a little bit, go to three at the back. And really, Morocco were clinical. Absolutely clinical. We gifted them a couple of goals, but even when you give the ball to them in dangerous areas, they still have to put it in the net. And I think the quality of our opponent showed, and they deserve their victory.
Stephen Mneza, an East African sports commentator, said the Mavubi Stars deserved the win.
I don't think this is a fluke. Rwanda have been, you know, doing very well in terms of prayer, progress, identification, development. We have been hearing about the interesting development programs in Kigali, which definitely gives insights into the country's positive progress this past week into, I mean, they're now a surprise team and being tipped to even do more wonders in Cameroon. This could be the golden generation of Rwanda because they seem to have been together for a long time.
The Mavubi Stars will play a winner of Group D. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinj in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Jennifer King has made history by becoming the first black woman to be appointed a full-time coach in the National Football League in the U.S. Her promotion to assistant running backs coach was confirmed on Tuesday by Washington football team. She spent the 2020 season as an intern under Washington head coach Ron Rivera and running backs coach Randy Jordan. King is part of a growing number of women earning coaching opportunities within the NFL. The appointment to a full-time paid role makes King the second woman in the NFL to become an assistant position coach, after Lori Locust was appointed assistant defensive line coach for Tampa Bay in March 2019. They won opposite sidelines in the first round of the playoffs, and among a record 6 female coaches and teams that played in the postseason. Tennis legend and activist Billie Jean King recorded a message congratulating Jennifer King for making history.
Congratulations, Jennifer, on your new promotion with the Washington football team. Become the first black woman to coach full-time in the NFL. In a new history-making job, you will inspire generations of children, because if you can see it, you can be it. As our new vice president, Kamala Harris, says, she will be the first in her new role, but she won't be the last. And the same holds true for you. So I'm so happy for you. Keep going for it.
That's tennis legend and activist Billie Jean King speaking about how proud she was to see another barrier broken in the sports world. The 36-year-old King was a quarterback, receiver and safety during 12 years as a player, winning 2 national championships with the Carolina Phoenix and New York Sharks. She was a basketball coach before first working with Rivera as an intern, helping to coach receivers at the Carolina Panthers in 2018.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. Still on the African beat, Arsenal captain Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang says his recent absence from the side is because his mother has been in ill health. The 31-year-old Gabon international has missed the Gunners' past 2 matches. The Gunners striker said his mother was quote-unquote feeling already much better and thanked medical staff for their work. Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta dedicated his side's Premier League win over Southampton on Tuesday to Aubameyang, while teammate Alexandre Lacazette sent a message of support after scoring in the 3-1 victory. And moving on to more Premier League news, bottom of the table Sheffield United caused a stunning upset with a 2-1 Premier League victory over title-chasing Manchester United at Old Trafford. Ole Gunnar side needed 3 points to regain top spot from rivals Manchester City, but were lackluster for large periods of the contest as the away side picked up only their second win of the season. The Blades took a shock first half lead through King Bryan's flicked header, which went in off the far post following John Fleck's corner, before United's keeper Harry Maguire headed in the leveler just past the hour mark. The visitors responded with 16 minutes remaining as Manchester United failed to clear and substitute Oliver Burke side-footed in via deflection of Axel Tounsebe, who was born in DRC, for their first win over the home side since the opening day of their newly formed Premier League in 1992. The Blades boss Chris Wilder termed the performance as special.
Magic day for us, special night for us. Just been talking about it, you know, TC scoring and my old pals Ted Emsley and Badge, who obviously I should imagine would have played in that game. It's a reward for the players because obviously it's been an incredibly difficult season for us.
Unbeaten away from home this season, the Red Devils have dragged themselves into a surprise title challenge, with this their first defeat in 13 games since they lost at Old Trafford against Arsenal in November. Here's the Red Devils' manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjær.
We had all the possession. Of course, when you concede two bad goals, it's always going to be difficult. When we didn't create enough, we put pressure on them, but we couldn't penetrate enough in behind them, create big enough chances to score enough goals.
With fellow title chasers Leicester held to a 1-1 draw at Everton, Solskjær and his team's missed opportunity means Manchester City are in the ascendancy, a point clear at the top with the game in hand.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Chelsea and Wolverhampton Wanderers played out a goalless draw in Thomas Tuchel's first match in charge of the London club. The Blues appointed former PSG boss Tuchel as their new manager on an 18-month contract on Tuesday after sacking club legend Frank Lampard following a run of one win in five league matches. The German tactician made a number of changes, which included dropping Mason Mount and Rick James, but his Chelsea side could not break the deadlock and had to settle for a point at Stamford Bridge. Here's the new Chelsea manager's take on the match.
Performance-wise, structure-wise, intensity-wise, was a very, very positive surprise. We were well structured, we had a lot of attacks, a lot of ball possession, a lot of intensity, and the best thing in all this ball possession, we had around 16 recoveries in the last third. This means we were well structured, we were good organized, and we had a good impulse to defend up front that gave us the possibility to play almost completely in the opponent's half. I was very happy with what I saw. I like the attitude and the energy, and I just told the team I will not allow anybody to doubt from here. Sometimes it's like this, that you don't get the result that you deserve, but if this was the starting point, and we have still potential to grow, I'm looking forward to where we end up.
Then Thomas Tuchel, who became the first Chelsea manager since Rafael Benitez in November 2012 to draw his first game in charge of the club. A mistake by Everton keeper Jordan Pickford helped Leicester stretch the unbeaten Premier League run to 7, although they will be disappointed with a 1-1 draw, with Everton hanging on to the lead given to them by James Rodriguez in the first half. England keeper Pickford let Yuri Tillman's shot squirm into the net in the 67th minute. The draw meant the Foxes remain third, but are now 2 points behind leaders Manchester City and a point behind Manchester United, while Everton stays seventh, 2 points behind fourth-placed West Ham.
VOA VOA's Our Voices television programme is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Liverpool is set to face Tottenham on Thursday. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten has a preview. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Prince Nesta. The last time Liverpool scored a Premier League goal was on December 27th, 2020. Since then, the European champions have lost their last five league matches. Last week, their 68-game winning streak at Anfield came to an abrupt end. And to add insult to injury, over the weekend, the Reds were knocked out of the FA Cup after their 3-2 defeat to Manchester United. Liverpool is now set to face Tottenham on Thursday. And ahead of the match, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp told reporters people have lost faith in his team much too soon.
In this world, we are losing trust and faith much too quickly, everywhere. Everything is great or everything is the opposite. So, and there's so many stages in between. And so we have a commitment to each other. So that's how it is. That doesn't mean they can play how they want and stuff like that. They never did and never could. So I see them trying, I see them working on it and all that stuff. And we are working as a team on solutions. But it's really about being the team we want to be in. The team we want to be is actually the one team nobody wants to play against. So that's the team. That's what we always wanted to be. But then all of a sudden, people told us we are the best team in the world, which we never were, but that's not a problem. We could beat the best team in the world. We can still be the best team in the world. That's good. But we have to prove that on the pitch again. And we will.
Liverpool and Tottenham last met in December at Anfield, where the Reds got the better of the Spurs in a 2-1 victory. At that time, the two teams were first and second in the league. Now they find themselves vying to stay in contention in fifth and sixth place. And Jurgen Klopp says his players must be prepared for a fight.
Tottenham, when we met last time, I think in December or so, it was first and second, something like that. Obviously, that's not the same situation anymore. A lot of things happened since then. That's how football is. In a month's time, a lot of things can happen again. And we want to make sure that this, then, if we talk then about the last month, it's much more positive than this last month. But we cannot change the last month anymore. We have to take it. And I know it's easier in the high-flying times to believe in what you do. But I'm not only a good weather coach. I was never. So it's just for all circumstances, you need to have the right answers. And the right answer for this is respond to some things and keep the things which are really good.
Tottenham have endured a slump of their own this season and currently sit 1 point behind Liverpool in sixth place. And as he prepares to host the European champions, Spurs manager Jose Mourinho told reporters he takes no comfort in Liverpool's losing streak.
Every club, especially the traditional top six, they had these situations. Not one team started winning and is still winning after 19 matches and a few months of competition. Everybody had difficult periods. Everybody had it. And then Liverpool had that difficult period where the results were not going in their direction. But the coach is the same. The players are the same. And the team is the same.
And Mourinho says while it won't be easy for Liverpool to defend their title, they have what it takes to get back to winning form.
Now, when you win once, you know that you have the team to win it twice. When you never win it, you have always the question mark of what do we need to win it? We are not good enough to win it. We need to improve to win it. When you win it, you know that you are the best team, and last season Liverpool was not just about winning, it was just about winning so comfortably. So they know the team they are, they know the players they have, and they know that they can do it again. Would anybody expect Liverpool to have a similar run of last season, winning and winning and winning non-stop? I wouldn't expect that, because what they did is so difficult that to win it a second time in the same way is even more difficult. But to win the title again, they can. I think they believe they can. And I believe that that's what they really want.
Mourinho says he does not feel at a disadvantage in light of Liverpool's current slump. Meanwhile, Jurgen Klopp says with their backs against the wall, the negative media coverage has given his team fuel to bounce back. And we will keep you updated, sports fans. And that is all from me, Prince Nesta. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Moving on to tennis, Jamie Murray believes his brother Andy Murray can still get back to playing at the highest level, and feels 2021 is shaping up to be a successful year for him. The three-time Grand Slam champion was forced to withdraw from next month's Australian Open following a positive COVID test. This year's Australian Open is the third in 4 years the younger Murray has missed in his ninth slam out of 13. The 33-year-old was only able to play 7 official matches in 2020 because of a lingering pelvic issue and the 5-month coronavirus-enforced suspension of tennis. His next event is likely to be either in France in February or the Rotterdam Open in March.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Tyson Fury's co-promoter Frank Warren has said he's confident nothing will get in the way of making a Fury vs. British boxer of Nigerian descent Anthony Joshua fight for May or June in 2021. Warren said negotiations are advancing with Joshua's promoter Eddie Hearn for the English rivals to meet for all 4 major world heavyweight titles. He also added that obstacles such as an arbitration hearing in the United States regarding American Deontay Wilder's claim Fury is contracted to fight him next, and Ukrainian Oleksandr Usyk's position as WBO mandatory challenger for one of Joshua's belts will not be a problem. The two will, however, have to fight outside of their home nation due to the UK's COVID-19 restrictions, which do not permit fans at sporting events. Saudi Arabia has been named as a possible venue for the first encounter.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
At this point, I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny for more details on sports activities taking place around the world. The address once again is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Now moving on to the NBA, the Los Angeles Lakers' record-breaking winning streak on the road ended as the Philadelphia 76ers earned a thrilling 107-106 victory at the Wells Fargo Center. In a fixture that saw the Eastern Conference leaders face their Western Conference counterparts, Joel Embiid's 28 points aid the 76ers to the win. LeBron James scored a game-high 34 points for the Lakers, who trailed by 14 points in the final quarter but rallied to fall to defeat by a single point. AP's reporter Michael Luongo has more.
After losing a double-digit lead late in the game, the 76ers got the game-winning basket in the final seconds of regulation for a 107-106 win over the Lakers. Los Angeles went on a 13-0 run, taking a 106-105 lead. The Sixers responded with the game-winning basket by Tobias Harris with 2.4 seconds to go. Harris finished with 24 points. Joel Embiid had a team-high 28. LeBron James had a game-high 34 points for the Lakers. Michael Luongo, Philadelphia.
The result keeps the 76ers top of the Eastern Conference with 13 wins and 6 defeats, while the Lakers fall to second in the West as the Utah Jazz move top after a 116-104 win over the Dallas Mavericks. One win in January doesn't shift the balance of power for the entire league. The Sixers will still have to prove themselves to be better than the Brooklyn Nets' new Big Three, the Boston Celtics' cohesive core, and the Milwaukee Bucks with two-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo, just to get out of the Eastern Conference. The Lakers, by virtue of being the defending champions, are already a proven contender, even though their lineup changed in the offseason. They traded JaVale McGee to the Cleveland Cavaliers and let Dwight Howard sign as Embiid's backup, replacing them with Gasol and Montrezl Harrell.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Six-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi inspired a Barcelona fight back on his return from suspension as they beat Rayo Vallecano 2-1 to reach the Copa del Rey quarterfinals. Rayo, who are fourth in the Spanish second tier, took a shock lead when Frank Garcia drilled in a loose ball. Barca hit back 6 minutes later when Messi, back from a 2-game ban after his first red card for the club, slotted in Antoine Griezmann's pass. Frankie de Jong's composed close-range finish ensured Barca avoided a shock. Barca captain Messi was also the architect for the winner, releasing substitute Jordi Alba down the left to provide a low cross that was met by de Jong's perfectly timed run. The Catalan club have won the Copa del Rey on a record 30 occasions, and the competition looks to be their best chance to claim a trophy in Ronald Koeman's first season as manager. The Dutchman admitted as much going to the tie, with his side 10 points adrift of La Liga leaders Atletico Madrid, and not considered among the favourites for the Champions League, especially as they face French champions Paris Saint-Germain in the last 16. Sevilla also joined Barca in Friday's quarterfinal draw by crushing 2019 Copa winners Valencia 3-0 at home. And that wraps up the January 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Mukbilia Baru. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Prince Nesta, sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.